So good morning. A few folks that I hadn't met, I don't believe, so I want to welcome you and to Pauline Baptist Church. Lynn and I made it back from California. I want to thank all of you guys for supporting us and praying for us and everything. If you're not aware, my wife Lynn, raise your hand for you guys that don't know. And we thought her mother was going to pass away 10 or 11 days ago or something like that, and she was. And when we got out there, she was very sick and unresponsive, and the doctor was giving her a few days to live, and then they found her kidneys were shutting down totally, and she had congestive heart failure and a bunch of other things, and they put her on the dialysis, and she didn't take it well, and heart went into AFib, and thought I was going to lose her again, and then waited a couple days, did the dialysis again, and it kind of kicked in, and the third and fourth and fifth dialysis, she started coming back and doing well, just like her normal self. And so it was a, praise the Lord, it was a miracle. Thank you guys. Thank God for modern day medicine. So her mom is still with us. When we left, we stayed 10 days. And when we left the day before, it's kind of funny because we prayed about the ticket. You know, how long do we go? Do we do a round trip or one way? And trying to get the cheapest tickets. And it just all worked out. God just worked it all out. We had a round trip ticket, and just everyone who helped us in every way, we appreciate it. But the day before we came back, they discharged her from the hospital, and she moved into assisted care living facility rehab. And the morning we left, we walked into her room, and she was up eating breakfast, just cheerful. And so it was a great time for us to leave and come back to Georgia. So, amen. Thank you guys very much. And appreciate Heath filling in. I heard he did a great job. So that's exciting that we can have folks that, Heath and I have been talking about God stirring some things up in him. So we'll see how that works out in the future. Appreciate Paul being here too to help us out and preach him. Let's pray for Paul too as he prepares, you know, for his ministry in the future, whatever God's calling him to do, so that's awesome. It was good to see Reagan's picture in the paper, right? Everybody see that? It was great to see that. It was an awesome testimony, and praise the Lord for that. So Ecclesiastes, that's where we're going to be this morning. Ecclesiastes, you find it in sort of the middle of the Bible, page 732. I'm going to wear that joke out, if y'all don't mind. Just don't laugh at me anymore, and I'll move on to something else. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. And let's pray as you find your way. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you do love us, and you love us with an unconditional and everlasting love. We love you, Lord, the best way that we know how. We say we love you. Lord, thank you for the folks that are here this morning, and we pray for the ones that are not here and going about in life, traveling, vacationing, spending time with family. And Lord, we just lift them up too. And thank you, Lord, for the good reports. And we pray for the folks who are having surgery this week and different other things. We lift up Glenn and Melissa and their family as they say goodbye to their loved one today. And Father, help me with this message, Lord. You know what you've put in my heart through the week, and I just ask you to give me the strength, the words, not let it be me trying to be fancy or cool or say something awesome, but Lord, it'll just be you speaking through me, Lord. Just let me be a broken vessel this morning and share what you put on my heart this week in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, it's in the NIV version. So let's read it together. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. You say amen? Man, each of us experience the natural seasons of winter, spring, summer, and autumn. And we also experience what we call spiritual seasons in this life. This morning, I want us to consider how we can live a life of joy during all the seasons and situations in our life. Quick story for you. We were flying from, we're in California. I've been sleeping on a couch for 9 nights. I'm getting too old for that. Lynn was sleeping on a blow-up camp mattress on the floor, and she's still young, but she's not where she needs to be sleeping on blow-up mattresses for 9 nights. So we're tired, and we're flying back from San Francisco back into Atlanta, and we're in a storm, and I think I'm going to die. The plane's just going crazy and bucking and dropping, and I'm like, oh, my Jesus. And so we got into Atlanta late and missed our flight coming back into Valdosta. It was the last flight. But Delta emailed us during that little 10 minutes and said, don't worry. You know, I've been preaching about not worrying, right? Delta says, don't worry. We've noticed that you're going to miss your flight to Valdosta, but we've booked you on the next flight to Valdosta. Right. Which was 10 o'clock the next day in the morning. And so here we are. Delta took good care of us, though. They bought us got us a nice hotel room in Atlanta and got us a little taxi van ride to the hotel and that sort of thing. So they took good care of us. But it was funny because the whole week at Lynn's mom's house, as sometimes Lynn would go to the hospital and, you know, I'd stay there. And I was working on this message all week, a little bit here and a little bit there. And the whole week I'm working on this message of living life with joy. And I was like, that's funny, God. You know, you put me in this whole situation, this airplane thing, you know, I got to walk it out, you know. And so that's my story. I'm sticking with it. It was interesting. So anyway, so let us consider this thing we call the season of joy. This is a season of joy. Now, we all know that we will encounter many seasons in our journey through this life. And the writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us that in every season that we go through, in every situation in life, there is a purpose for this. There's a purpose for this season. Now, joy, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, joy is something that we all long for. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that's produced by God work within us. And it's a part of God's will for all of our lives. Experiencing joy should be a part of every season in a Christian's life. Now, joy is different than happiness. Happiness has to do with external things that can come and go, right? Come and go. Joy really has to do with the internal things, the internal issues and situations that's going on inside of us. Okay, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a gift from God. The root word for joy is called chara. And the root word in the Greek for grace is charis. So it's very similar. And I looked it up, got into details, and it's a very similar, almost identical word. So I gather that joy comes when we are aware of God's grace in our life. That's why I believe, you know, the Greek word for joy is chara, and the Greek word for grace is charis. So very similar. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, this sounds good, but what does this really mean? Okay, what is the joy of the Lord? Matthew Henry, who I like to use a lot, is a famous theologian in his commentaries, said this. Matthew Henry said this. The joy of the Lord is the gladness in our heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought that was a good way to put it. One of my favorite Christmas messages, okay, and Christmas verses is around when Jesus was born, and the angel says, be of good cheer, fear not, good tidings of great joy in Luke. Great joy. Now, if you're a Christian, a follower, a disciple of Christ, you already have those good tidings of joy within you. We already have those good tidings of joy. The joy of knowing that Jesus died for you. The joy of knowing that our place in heaven that we sung about this morning. I love those old hymns too. The joy of knowing that our place in heaven is assured because of God's grace and because of our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That should bring us joy. The joy of knowing that our sins, past, present, and future, have already been paid for. They've already been forgiven. The joy of knowing that you are in a relationship with Almighty God who loves you and cares for you and has a plan for your life, no matter what season you're in right now. The joy of knowing that the Holy Spirit resides in us. The Holy Spirit of God resides in us. And He's leading and guiding us and bringing honor and glory to God through our walk. You see, guys, knowing and trusting Jesus brings joy in our daily walk. As we pick up our cross and follow Jesus daily, this trusting the Lord brings joy in our heart. Jesus demonstrated joy in His ministry. Even the Pharisees accused Jesus of being too joyful. Luke sums it up by saying Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. John 15:9-11. Let me read it to you. This is Jesus saying, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love. Now listen to this last sentence from Jesus. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Man, that's awesome to me. In Jesus, in some of His parables, we see joy. In Luke 15, if you study the different parables, you'll see the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and you'll see the parable of the lost son. But at the end of these parables, you'll notice there's a joyful shepherd, there's a joyful woman, and there's a joyful father. Now, one of the characteristics of the early church was joy. Let me read this to you. Acts 2:46-47. He says, they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We eat a lot around here, so we're doing pretty good. Acts 13 tells us that believers were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul often wrote about joy. You look in Romans 14:17, Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. Listen to this. He says, but it's a matter of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you're part of that kingdom of God. You're a part of that. You share in that life. You share in that peace and that joy of the kingdom of God. Paul writing to the church of Philippi, and he said in Philippians 4:4, he said, always, everybody say always. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote, always be joyful. So what's up with all this always? You know, how do we always do this? Wasn't just Paul. Peter said it in 1 Peter. This is a long verse, so let me read it with you, so hang with me. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 9. Listen closely. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, he goes on to say, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him. Listen to this. This is talking about us today. It says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. This is talking about you guys, me, you, us. I know Peter was talking to this, but he's talking to us too. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Amen. My question is, the joy of the Lord your strength in the season or the situation that you are in today? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then whatever season that you're in right now, you should have the joy of the Lord in your heart. You can experience the joy of the Lord in every season by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He is the champion. He is the author, the initiator, the perfecter, and he is the finisher of our faith. Faith is the victory. Faith overcomes, and faith helps us to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Maybe you're in a difficult season of life right now. Maybe your situation or circumstance is difficult. Maybe you are so focused on the problem, you feel unable to experience the joy of the Lord. Glenn and I understand. We've been through our trials and tribulations. Like I said earlier, last week we thought we were going to California to watch her mother pass away and then bury her. And I know one day we will. But not last week. Not today. I'm telling you, I watched as her family walked in and out of that hospital room with joy. Yes, there was some sadness, but we all had joy. And that gave us strength. We knew that she was saved. She loved Jesus. And if she had passed away, she was going to be with the Lord in heaven. And we would see her again soon. And that gave us all joy. When the Bible talks about death, where's your sting? That's a joy that unbelievers don't know anything about. Right? I don't see how they make it. Now, it's time for a little short reality check here. The truth also goes like this. Even the most spiritually mature followers of the Lord can experience periods of joyfullessness. That's hard to say. Joyfullessness. Say that three times, Mr. Jerry. You see, we all know the stories. Job wished he had never been born. David prayed to be taken to a place where he would not have to deal with reality anymore. And old Elijah, my favorite one, you know, after calling down fire from heaven and, you know, seeing all those prophets of Baal defeated, what did he do? He ran off and got sad and depressed and scared and all that and wanted God to take his life. So these great men of the Bible, these great heroes of the Bible, they struggled sometimes finding joy. So how can we find joy in every seasons of our life and every situations? Again, it's real simple. For us to experience and live in joy in whatever season or situation we're in, we must focus on God. We must. Instead of dwelling on our difficulties or allowing circumstances and situations to rob our joy, we must focus on God. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, let me be clear about something. You know me as a counselor, you know I am about this. I'm not saying that we need to deny our feelings or try to suppress our emotions. I'm not saying that. We need to share our emotions and share our feelings sometimes. Even you tough men, you know, it's all right. Share those feelings and emotions with people. But we must not forget that we have to submit our situations. Whatever we're going through in life, we must submit that problem to God. To give it over to God. Give it to Him in prayer, in private Bible study, in private worship. We must give it to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God because He cares for you. We can pour our heart out to God. He loves us, just like that song says. He loves us. We can tell Him how we feel. He cares for us. So, how can we find joy in every season of life? The Apostle Paul kind of sums up and gives us some practical guidelines. So I'm going to read this scripture, and I want to encourage you this week, if you want to do a little personal Bible study, in Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9. Philippians 4:4-9. So here's the practical guideline that Paul gives us. And I'm going to read it again. It's quite a few verses, so stay with me. Philippians 4:4-9. Paul says, always, here's this always word again, you know, Paul's, you know, supersonic, isn't he? So, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. I don't have time here. I do three sermons on this whole scripture right here. But how this, you know, he said, be full of joy in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. So you can bring that word rejoice back to finding joy, but I'm not going to go there. It says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. I'm reading out a New Living Translation, so hang with me. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, Paul says one more thing. One more thing. Let me add to this. Fix your thoughts. Right? Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and what is admirable. In the next verse, again, he goes back to thinking our thoughts. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me do it. Then the God of peace will be with you. Wow. Really sum this up. Really study this scripture if you want to. This is the key right here. Now, let's move on. The memory verse for the day, if you notice in your bulletin, was James 1:2. James 1:2. It says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. As we persevere through trials, with God's help, our faith strengthens and our faith matures. By God's grace, we can experience joy despite our circumstances. Now listen to James real quickly. James 1, 2, and 4. Again, this is from the Living Translation. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, it says you will be complete, needing nothing. Wow. See, guys, I was looking at this and I was checking out the book of James, and 50% of the book of James is about commands that God gives us. There's 108 verses in the book of James, and 54 are different commands. And this is the first one. Consider it pure joy when troubles come. See, if you look at that word consider, it carries the idea of counting. Now, some of your translations says count it all joy, you know. That has to do with counting. Now listen closely to this. I found this very interesting. When you study this in the Greek, it literally means the idea, you ready, of pressing your mind down on something. It's like leading your mind through a reasoning process to arrive at a conclusion. It's kind of like you're weighing your worries and you're calculating your trials and then you put them in perspective. Really interesting. You really study this scripture here. I'll give you an example, kind of using me as an example, sorry, but last year I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called PSA, psoriatic arthritis. And some of y'all remember, it really knocked me out for a while. I could barely walk. I was on a cane and I could barely get out of the... Some of y'all remember, thank God for Paul helping me out on Sunday nights. But it was an ordeal of finding the right medicine and getting everything going. So I didn't know all this back then, but I just kind of accidentally did it, not by accident, because the Holy Spirit was guiding me at that time. I just didn't know what He was doing. But through this, and some of you guys have to do this in your lives, and you've done it. But it's weighing your worries and calculating your trials. So at that time, I was thinking, okay, they've told me this is an incurable disease. I'm going to have it for the rest of my life. Oh, I was getting sad, depressed, angry, frustrated. Why me? Went through all that kind of crazy stuff. And then I thought, well, now I've found the medicine. I got to take a shot in my stomach. Okay, you know, it makes me tired. Toward the end of the medicine, I get really tired. So I got to do this the rest of my life. And the medicine costs $4,000 a month. You know, so all this is going on. Thank God for Lynn's insurance, which covers almost all of it. So at the end of weighing and calculating, according to the scripture, consider it all joy. Now, the Bible's telling me I got to consider all this joy. Got to count it all joy. So, you know, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's not easy. I'm not going to stand up here and be, you know, I'm not the super preacher that's got it all worked out. But this is how God's worked this out for me. Is I had to come to a perspective, a new perspective. And the perspective is, after calculating, weighing, and considering it joy, because now I do, I really do, I feel like I'm a better person. It sounds weird, but I feel like I'm a better Christian because of it. And, you know, different other things I don't want to get into. But the perspective is, And if I offend anybody, I apologize. I don't mean to. At least I don't have cancer and I've got 6 months to live, right? That's the perspective. At least I don't have a life-threatening illness and I got, you know, 1 year to live. At least I'm not, you know, walking around with some kind of, you know, at least I'm not, I got all my legs, they work, you know, I'm trying to, there's a lot worse people out there. They got a whole lot worse going on. So, you know, I just got a little, you know, my shot, oh, I only got to do it once every 2 weeks. It's not a big deal. Right? Lindsay insurance covers it. And you know what? It may go into remission one day. I'm going to keep praying and believing God that it will, because the doctor told me it might. So in all that, it's like can change, like a little paradigm shift. And some of you probably saw that as I progressed. And now it's like, you know, I'm able to count it joy. Count it all joy. Maybe God's will for my life. Who am I to say? I don't know. Me and Mr. Jesse was talking about in the hallway. We don't know what God's will really is. I mean, I know God's will is for me to, you know, share the gospel and love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. You know, and try to get people saved, born again, baptized. But, you know, we live one day at a time. God's got it all worked out, don't He? Here's something I learned through that. We need to understand this. That the main priority of our lives is not our pleasure. Y'all hear that? I'm going to say it again. We need to understand that the main priority in our lives is not our pleasure. It's not all about our wants. The main priority as a Christian in our lives should be the purposes of God. The life of a Christian should display the marks, the indications, the reality, listen closely, of a life lived with a focus on God, with Christ at the center, surrounded by the love of the Father, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The only way we can do this is to understand that there is a purpose in all our problems. There's a purpose in every season of our life. Every situation that we come, there's a purpose in it. God is either in control or He's not. And I believe He is. You see, trial leads to life transformation. When we persevere, our trials lead to a changed life. And I'll close with these words. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, as we come to our close in the song of invitation, remember, please remember this. Whatever season you are in, whatever circumstance or situation that you may be facing today, consider it pure joy. It's not easy. Consider it pure joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this morning. Lord, thank You for everything You've done for us. We love You. Father, if there's here one this morning that has never asked You into their heart, made You Lord of their life, Lord, I pray that they'll come to the altar during the song of invitation, Lord. And I'll be glad to pray with them. Father, maybe there's someone here who'd like to join the church or get baptized. Lord, we're definitely open for that, and we'd like to talk with you. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.